Our first reading is from the Old Testament section of the Bible, Hosea chapter 11, can be found on page 907 in the Church Bibles. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, they burnt incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even if they call to the Most High, he will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God, not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Assyria. I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. The second Bible reading is from the book of Romans in the New Testament. It can be found on page 1134, starting chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
The fight went on in other areas. It took another 50 years to pay off all the debts. Rationing continued. There was trauma in the soldiers' lives and throughout people who lived out through the war in Europe. Rebuilding in our cities went on for decades. Whilst we have turned to Christ, the battle in us still goes on. I'm reminded of the words of that hymn we sing occasionally. O Jesus, I have promised. This is what we sing. O let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Are very powerful words, and words I think that as you sing that hymn we can easily identify with. So what doesn't help us draw close to God is allowing the misdeeds of the body and our mind to rule our lives. So we need to kind of look at the passage and ask ourselves the question, so what will help us be close to God? And so as we look at this passage, we see there are things to give us hope and to give us help and to remind us that the Christian life is worth battling with. And firstly, we are told in the passage that we are led by the Spirit of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. In other words, we are not on our own. We have God with us. Now, we do need to be humble about this and not boastful, because sometimes we can wrongly overstate this phrase to say we are led by the Spirit of God, to try and make ourselves more important, to enforce our ideas on other people because we have the Spirit with us. So what does it mean then to have the Spirit with us? Well, it's not about God taking away our free will and some way being overtaken by the Spirit of God, moving our arms and limbs and our minds like a robot. But it's about being aware and having God in our lives and learning about God in the decisions that we take. It's about listening to God. And as we do that, we find the Spirit coming into our lives and helping us with those decisions and those desires that we have. We've prayed this morning in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done in earth as in heaven." I don't know what you think about as you say that prayer. I often think about the great injustices in the world, what's going on in Afghanistan, world poverty. But actually, "Thy will be done" is just as much about what goes on in our hearts and minds as what goes on globally. Elsewhere, Paul speaks to the church at Corinth, and he says this: "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So every thought we bring to God, we test it against his word. It makes us feel very vulnerable, doesn't it? How often do we bring every captive to Christ? But as we learn to do that, so we find that we are led by the Spirit. We are letting our lives be directed by God's desires. We read about Jesus in the Bible, the Gospels. We read the Bible and how God interacts with his people. We've learned this morning about David. We've had that reading from Hosea, a very powerful reading that despite the people of Israel turning back away from God, God still had compassion for them. God did not want to judge them. God still wanted to be their God. Very powerful reading about the desires of God. And a few weeks ago, we thought about the fruit of the Spirit. Here we see that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, these are the fruits of the Spirit. We might see these as aspirations for us to live by, because we know that it's very difficult to achieve and balance all these things in our lives. We might be good at one of those, but not at the other. And as we reflect on these, we can easily see how day to day life is a battle for us to display all these fruits in our lives. As we live in the Spirit, as we measure up our lives against these standards, against the fruit of the Spirit, about Jesus, about what God is saying in the Bible, so we draw closer to God. And we know it's not an instant thing, but we have God's Spirit to help us, to assist us, to lead us and prompt us. What helps us draw close to God is that we are being led by the Spirit of God. Let's move on in the passage. In verse 15, we read that, "For God did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." So the second thing is that we are now part of God's family. We have been adopted. We now belong to somebody else. We see in verse 15 that we can call God Abba. This is a familiar term, like we might call our earthly father's dad. And up till now, God was seen as somebody far off, too terrible for us to even look upon. But now Paul says to the Christians in Rome. You can now call him Dad. You have been adopted into his family. In other words, we are in a day-to-day relationship with God himself. This God, through Jesus, became a human being like us, who felt the pain, the sweat, the daily battle of living in the Spirit. He is our brother, and he is part of our family. The Romans that Paul was writing to will be very, very familiar with the idea of adoption. It was a very powerful thing. We have adoption in our own country, when we're able to take children and they're able to join in families where their own birth families have not worked out. Julius Caesar, who may be familiar to us, he came to Britain. He didn't stay here very long. Perhaps he didn't like the weather. And after he'd visited Britain, he ended up back in Rome. And he became the top dog. He became the most important person in the Roman Empire. But he didn't have any offspring. But what he did do, there was somebody in his wider family called Octavian, and he adopted him, and he said, he will be part of my family. All that I have, I will pass on to him, so that when my life comes to an end, and it did brutally, as we know, if we know our Shakespearean history, it was Octavian who had the right to continue to be emperor of the Roman Empire. And as it happens, Octavian, who was adopted by Julius Caesar, became one of the greatest Roman Empire, became known as Caesar Augustus, and his name appears in the Bible, in the birth story by Luke of Jesus. He brought peace and stability. Anyway, enough of that history lesson. The point is, adoption is something that's very powerful. We become part of God's family. And we have all the rights and benefits and privileges that come with that family. We can call God Abba, Dad. We also see that God's Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. In other words, God works with our spirit. We find God's Spirit helping us, working with us, prompting us, joined together with our spirit, with our mindset, putting things together in our lives. How often we find things going on in our lives and we say, how did that happen? And as we contemplate and think about it, we realize that it's the Spirit working in our life, helping us to understand something, helping us to help somebody else. And we can see and feel that God's Spirit is working in us. And yes, we can see God's Spirit is testifying with our spirit. And when that happens, it reminds us, again, that we are part of family. We are part of God's family. God's Spirit testifies with our spirit, and that helps us be close to God. But in verse 15, it tells us that the Spirit is not here to make us a slave again to fear. We have the Spirit to take away fear, to give us freedom, to be with God and to feel close to him. And finally, as an adopted child, we can look at verse 17. It says this, now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. It tells us we are co-heirs with God's Son, Jesus. All that Jesus has, we have as well. So Jesus rose again from the dead. So as we follow and we are part of God's family, that applies to us as well. That is why we have glory coming. That is why it says to us that we may also share in his glory, because we will be raised up with him. And that's something that we can look forward to, that we can be resurrected from the dead, that death will not overcome us. But this passage also tells us something else. It tells us also that there is suffering. Because it tells us that if we are part of God's family, yes, there is glory in the future, but there is also suffering, that we are called to suffer as Christ suffered. And we might say, well, is this part of our Christian life? And the Bible never promises us a bed of roses. Having God's presence with us will mean that we will live a life of suffering. We are not taken away from suffering, but we are given strength and we are led by the Spirit through that suffering. We live in a world where there are misdeeds. People of Plymouth will be very aware of that at the moment. But Jesus too suffered pain, rejection, indignation, sneering of people around him, querying who he was. And as we know, he was put to death on the cross. Suffering is part of the way of Christ, but suffering also draws us close to God. So this morning we can ask ourselves the question, what is it that makes us feel close to God? And we see that what helps us be close to God is that we are led by the Spirit. We are adopted into God's family. His Spirit works with our spirit, and we are co-heirs with him, both in suffering and in glory. I trust that as we decide to live by the Spirit, we'll feel close to God, that we can call God our dad, our good heavenly Father, available 24/7. We too have the witness of the Holy Spirit connecting to us, and his resources are available to help us live by day by day, as we combat sinful misdeeds and as we seek to live by the Spirit. As we bring these things into our lives, it pulls us closer to God and helps us to rely on him rather than our own strength. And as we're reminded, what doesn't help us be close to God are those things, are those sinful activities, are those misdeeds, are that things that that human nature that gets in the way of us knowing God. So this morning, we ask ourselves the question, do we feel close to God? Please look at this reading and allow it to speak to us and help us so that indeed we will feel close to God both now and in the rest of our lives. I'm going to close with a short prayer. Please do join in with me. Heavenly Father, we recognize that day by day, hour by hour, we need your help to fight sinful misdeeds in our lives. And we do this as we await that call to glory. We thank you that you have adopted us so that we can call you our Father. May your Spirit lead us and your presence inspire us so that we may live by the Spirit and know your presence with us day by day. Amen.
So as we come towards the end of the service and reflect on what we've just heard as Jeremy has shared that passage with us, we're going to sing again. And the title of this song is Everyone Needs Compassion. And we know that we believe in someone who is totally compassionate but strong, not compassionate in a very wishy-washy way, but totally compassionate because he comes alongside us. He sent his son into the world to die for us, so that we could know forgiveness when we accept him into our lives. So please stand as we sing Everyone Needs Compassion.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Please do sit down. As we prepare to leave the building, I'll, as we've been doing over the last many weeks, I will guide us out pew by pew. But first of all, a final prayer.